main thing today. Our Lord and our Savior born 2,000 years ago to give us life and life in abundance. I don't know if you know, but just in the hall behind me as well, there's an overflow crowd, and I'm told it's packed in the hall behind me. So, guys in the hall behind me, can you give us evidence you are there, please? They are there. So I really hope that you guys there in the overflow feel welcome and you feel part of the service. It's just so good to have all of us together today. Thank you so much to the parking team. I think you arrived. You saw three gentlemen directing you as to where to park. Thank you to the parking team. Now, getting out is going to be a challenge. That's going to be a free-for-all, but it is extended in the parking lot after the service. Well, today is the day that, if you don't know, let me tell you, many pastors, many preachers, especially those that I know, feel a little bit pressurized because the danger exists that we speak about or preach about something we're so familiar with. We've heard the Christmas story so many times, and maybe the danger exists that we can forget the miracle and the wonder of what actually happened on that first Christmas day 2,000 years ago. But you know, the way I see it is that there are some things you can hear over and over again that never, ever get old. And the Christmas story is one of those things. It's that moment in history, boys and girls, that you may not have heard this word before, but theologians, people who study the Bible, refer to this day 2,000 years ago as the incarnation. The incarnation is a fancy word referring to the fact that the Creator God, the God that made everything we know, everything we see, the whole universe, that God became a little baby boy, was born in Bethlehem, and he came on a very clear and specific mission. And Matthew 1:21 tells us what his mission was. It says, she will give birth, referring to Mary, to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. By the way, what does Jesus mean by definition? Jesus means Savior, Deliverer, Rescuer, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I told you on Sunday, if you were here on Sunday, that often there's a meaning behind the gifts you receive. Is that not true? So, my first gift this morning, this is no lie, it's Christmas and it's church. The first gift I received today was a gift from Paula. Any guesses for what the gift was? It was a book. It was a book. Any guesses for the title of the book? No, not how. No, that wasn't the title. The title of the book was Anyone Can Become a Handyman. I'm like, what? Now, if you were in my shoes, what would you read into that gift? That there's work to be done around the house. That's what I'm guessing. I mean, what a gift. Any guesses for my second gift? No, we're not going down that road. So when you think about the gift of Jesus, whose very name means Savior, Deliverer, Rescuer, can you see the meaning behind the gift? We are people, all of us, in need of a Savior, and God in His grace gave us exactly, precisely what we need. Now, Paula read a couple of scriptures from Luke, but I'm just going to read a few more as well. So, you more than likely haven't got your Bible with you, so let me read them to you. First one is Luke chapter 1, and we'll read a few verses from verse 31. So, an angel appears to Mary, and this is what the angel says. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And I want to flip over to chapter 2, where the angel appears now to the shepherds after the birth of Jesus. So if you look in verse 8 of chapter 2, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly terrified. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heaven praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men.' And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Well, a couple of things I find fascinating about the Christmas story. Number one would be this, is that the first people to hear this great news about the Savior of the world, about the birth of Jesus, were the shepherds. Now, I find that interesting because if you know anything about Middle Eastern culture, and especially in those days, shepherds were not very highly thought of people. They were the outcasts, the rejects of society. And true to form, what does God do? He goes to a group of people that nobody else would ever have gone to, the least expected, the least important, and he brings this news to them first. And friends, I say that's good news because today the same Jesus Christ, born 2,000 years ago, extends a hand of grace and friendship to you as well. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your rank or level in society, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what people think about you, the same Jesus Christ extends a hand of friendship and grace, just as the angels did to the shepherds all those years ago. But secondly, have a look at verse 9 and use your imagination, boys and girls. Try and imagine you were there that night. Verse 9 says, "An angel of the Lord stood before them, and they were greatly afraid." Your Bible might use the word they're terrified. Now, just try and imagine the scene. You're a shepherd. It's pitch dark outside. You're in the middle of nowhere. And suddenly something happens which you've never seen in your life before. A supernatural being, big, powerful, appears out of nowhere. And that supernatural being begins to speak to you. Do you think you might be afraid? Absolutely. So were they. And so the first words the angel says are words to be expected. The angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not fear." Now, I don't know if you know this, but the most common command from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible, in fact, it appears over 150 times, is the command, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid times 150. Why do you think God repeats the command 150 times? I think God realizes as we journey through life, face all the challenges that life presents to us, that we have a tendency as human beings to become like the shepherds. We look at the circumstances, we look at the challenges, and sometimes our hearts are gripped by fear. Sometimes we do feel worried and anxious, and maybe over the course of 2019, you've walked a road where you've been afraid from time to time. I want to encourage you this morning, my friends, if that is you, you're not alone. I remember a number of years ago, Paul and I were living in a city, and I've got a photograph of the city to show you. This is a city where the predominant color is white. And it's white because it snows there for 8 or 9 months of the year. In fact, today as we enjoy this balmy, beautiful day in Ganubi, over there in eastern Turkey, it's minus 40 degrees Celsius. Minus 40 degrees Celsius. Now, that was our Christmas experience for a number of years. So try and imagine this morning, you woke up in a place, the calendar said 25 December, Christmas Day, but you woke up in that city where there were no churches, There were no other Christians. There were no gifts. There were no Christmas trees. There were no Christmas carols. You woke up just two people living amongst a million people who served other gods and followed other books. How would that Well, I want to say from time to time, Paul and I, living in that place, even on Christmas Day, we felt afraid. And it was during living in that city that God showed me three beautiful things that fit so intricately into the Christmas story, and I want to share them with you this morning in the hope that they will encourage you. Number one, and this is a real encouraging statement, the Holy Spirit showed me living in that city that the God we serve is bigger. Now, I say that because circumstantially, in the first century AD, the odds were stacked against the incarnation, against the birth of Jesus. Israel was living under strict Roman occupation. There were powerful rulers in place who governed the lives of everyday people. Secondly, Mary was a young teenage girl. She was engaged to a man called Joseph who had no wealth or power or prestige, no influence. Thirdly, Joseph now had explained to a very conservative society how his fiancée had fallen pregnant outside of the context of marriage, and so many other difficulties. So circumstantially, everything was stacked against this event taking place, and yet look how Mary responds. These are words of incredible faith. Against all the odds, Mary simply says to the angel, "Let it be to me according to your word." Those, my friends, are words of faith. Powerful Roman Empire. Young teenage girl. The odds are stacked against this event happening. "Let it be to me according to your word," Mary said. That is faith. I encourage you this Christmas, my friends. I encourage you even now as I speak. As you think about your life, as you think about the road you've walked over the course of 2019, as you think about what lies ahead going into 2020, right now make a decision to lift up your eyes above the emotion, above the circumstance, and realize that Jesus Christ is referred to as Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? God? God with us. God with us. The God you serve is bigger. As you launch into the unknown, His presence goes with you. On the mountains, in the valleys, in the fires of life, He will walk with you. Doesn't that make a difference? And guess what? Nobody is bigger. Nobody has more authority. And nobody has more power than your Jesus. Is bigger. Amen? What about number two? The God we serve is bigger, but the God we serve is also able. Now for us, if we're honest, there are certain things that we simply cannot do. When I was a youngster, probably this age, I was told by my teachers, by my parents, that flying for a human being is not possible. But I didn't believe it, so I made myself a hot air balloon. The clothes washing basket was my container, and the beach umbrella was my support, and I went onto the top of the garage roof, and I thought, I will defy what people tell me is impossible. I will float gently down to the grass. Boys and girls, guess what happened? I found that flying for human beings is impossible, and I hurt myself. Now, you know what? For God, He has no such limitations. God doesn't sit there and scratch His head and say, "Wow, I wonder if this can be done. I wonder if I can do this." God has no limitations. God has no weaknesses. There is nothing that intimidates God. There's nothing that overwhelms. He's able to do whatever He wants to do. And so Mary says to the angel in verse 34, she asks a question any one of us would ask. "Mary, you are going to become pregnant with the Son of God, the Savior of the world." What does Mary say? She says, "How can this be? since I'm a virgin. Biologically, scientifically, this is an impossibility. It cannot be done. What does the angel say? Ha! You've forgotten one little factor, Mary. For with God, nothing will be impossible. My friends, the world in which we live is skeptical. Philosophy, clever people say, Jesus, born of a virgin 2,000 years ago, impossible. Science, biology says it can't be done. God says, watch me, I did it. For me, all things are possible, even causing a young teenage girl to give birth to the Son of the Living God. The God you serve in Ganubi, He's bigger. The God you serve, He's able to do the impossible. And number three, maybe this is the most encouraging of all, the God we serve is in control. You know what, friends? The birth of Jesus Christ, if you know the Bible, boys and girls, this is a step. The birth of Jesus Christ was predicted. Another word for predicted is prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before it actually happened. So God revealed this truth to men and women hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, and they wrote those words in the Bible. And so for all the centuries, the Jewish people waited for the Messiah. When will He come? When will He come? And they waited for hundreds and hundreds of years. Look what Paul writes in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, I love the NIV which says, when the set or the appointed time had fully come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. You know what that verse tells me? Jesus didn't arrive early. Jesus didn't arrive late. This wasn't some random day in history. This was God's appointed time to introduce the Savior to the world. He was and is absolutely in control. Now, you say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. What about my life today? Is God still in control? Well, look what David writes in Psalm 37. He says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, my life is not determined by luck or by chance. Follow the Lord is ordered by God. Psalm 37, 25. David writes, I've been young and now I am old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken. How many of you can say that verse is true of my life? Especially those who are, how can I say diplomatically, more mature among us. Of the more experienced generation. Like David, you can look back over the course of your life. And right now you can think of the challenges you faced. For some of you, life has been extremely hard. Even 2019 has been full of incredible challenge. But through it all, you can say, although life has been hard, God has been good and God has been faithful. God is in control. My friends, be encouraged. The God you serve has not changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's bigger, He's able, and He is absolutely in control. And guess what? Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. That is the truth. Our God is bigger, He's able, and He is in control. Finally, have a look at verse 15. Shepherds respond to the revelation of the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, have a look at the big screen, verse 15. This is how they responded. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. What did the shepherds do? They pursued Jesus. They made a way to move from where they were to the place where Jesus was. My friends, I want to say to you this morning as I wrap up, make it the goal of your life. Make it the mission of your life to do exactly what the shepherds did. Not to be a casual inquirer, not to watch and admire Jesus from a distance, but to go to where Jesus is and to love him, to worship him, to follow him. I found one truth to be true above all others over the years, and that is this. You take one small step towards Jesus, he will take 1,000 giant steps towards you. One small step for you towards Jesus today, he will take 1,000 giant steps towards you, the Savior of the world, the friend of sinners. There is no one like him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much that we've been able to start this Christmas day considering the very heart of what this day represents. Lord, that day when the unthinkable, the unimaginable happened, the Creator God entered our broken, sinful, hurting world as a little baby, and he came on a mission to save us from the power and the penalty of sin. Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us a different way to live, an unselfish way, a way defined by love and grace and sacrifice. And Lord, I pray today that above everything else, we will commit ourselves to following in your footsteps. Lord, to loving you, to worshiping you, to giving our all to you. May you be the focal point, Lord Jesus Christ, of this day. Father, for all of us, as we look back at 19 and all the challenges that have come with that year, as we look ahead to the unknown of what 2020 holds in store, Lord, we declare today, we make this our declaration of faith, that the God we serve, he is bigger. The God we serve, he is able. And the God we serve, he is absolutely in control. Father, thank you. May this day be full of your peace and full of your love and full of your grace. And may you, Lord Jesus Christ, be the center of it all. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.